Thanks for staying with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. I want to turn to the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. You know, it helps connect people and businesses to nature. And today we're going to talk about the upcoming field trips and the Great Wisconsin Birdathon with a couple of guests. One of them is John Kradiak. John, welcome to the show.
Larry, it's great to be back with you. Thanks so much for having the foundation on this great program. We really appreciate it very much. And I'll start right off and tell people that our website is wisconservation.org. That's conservation with a wis in front of it. So
there we go. Oh, I want to get Lindsay involved too. Lindsay Taylor, also, well, of course, John's been the membership director of the foundation since 2006. And Lindsay Taylor is the conservation programs coordinator, right?
Yes, that's right. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's great to have you both here. And as you listen to these two experts talk, I hope you'll join in. Are you familiar with the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin? Maybe you've participated in some of the events or any of the events. What would you like to know about, maybe about available grants? Because that we can talk about that as well. Love to hear from you. You can call us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. You know, I think the foundation's been around for more than 30 years. John, and I sort of mentioned briefly about the mission, but maybe you could tell us about the mission of the organization, a little of background about it.
Be glad to, Larry. We started back in the 1980s, so we passed the 35-year mark a little while ago, and it was a response to declining public support for conservation. So the foundation exists to conserve Wisconsin's lands, waters, and wildlife, especially the public lands. And we've been very successful in that endeavor. We've granted out more than $10 million over the years, and we have 5,000-plus members. We have this exciting field trip program with exactly 263 field trips this year. And we also have the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. People may know about the threat to wildlife in general, but especially to the great decline in some bird species. So that Birdathon exists to hopefully help reverse that. In the way to find out about that is wisconservation.org/birdathon.
So what's the relationship? You must have, I know you have a relationship between the foundation and the Wisconsin DNR. Lindsay, something you want to mention on that?
Yeah, so the foundation really began as a way to bridge private support for the public lands. We do a lot more than that now, so we also grant out to nature centers, schools across the state, local governments and tribal communities. So we've really started to expand our impact just beyond the DNR, but they are obviously still a really close partner with us.
I'm sure of that. And you've been hosting these trips for 30 years. And they're, well, one thing I can say about the trips is they're a heck of a lot of fun, and you learn an awful lot. And, well, maybe that's the purpose. Is that the purpose?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the purpose. We love getting our members out into nature and getting them as excited as we are about some of these trips. There are trips to go duck banding and bird banding, canoeing and kayaking, hiking, botanizing, pretty much anything you would want to learn about the natural world in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and John, to add to that?
I'll chime in that for people like myself who grew up in an urban area, we have some great urban trips in both the Madison and Milwaukee areas. And I'm a big fan of urban conservation. So if that's of interest to you, we have those.
Yeah, and I've looked through and found a whole bunch that I'd like to go on. On, as a matter of fact. And they're, let's say, I would say categorized, I guess, from accessible to extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more. How do you know which category you might fall into?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's a scale in there of 1 to 5 in the field trip guidebook. So 5 would probably fall into off-trail steep hikes. So that gives folks an idea if they're going to be hiking off-trail in a state natural area, going up some steep rocky cliffs. But we also have a lot of accessible field trips, and I believe 20 field trips that you can even get a accessible outdoor wheelchair reserved through Accessibility Wisconsin. So we've been really trying to improve the accessibility of our field trips for those who don't have those abilities too.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. And the trip guide, which I have a paper copy in front of me, which I love because my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. I like to have one that I can pull right up next to my nose practically to see. How are they available?
You need to be a member of the foundation to get one. And as I mentioned at the top, wisconservation.org. You can join to become a member there, and we will gladly send out a guide to you. Mm-hmm. Now, time is running short. The trips open on April 4th, so I would encourage people, if they do want to get a paper copy, to probably take advantage of that within the next day or so.
I would think so. And once they are members, then they would also have access to the online.
That's correct. Yes, absolutely. They would have the online, and of course, then they would qualify for our wonderful newsletter, Bridges, as well.
And what's membership cost?
It's very reasonable. The basic individual membership is $25. A family membership is $40. And, of course, we do accept larger amounts than that. I don't want to go into pledge drive mode here, but again, it is wisconservation.org for membership. And for our Birdathon, it's wisconservation.org/Birdathon.
And, it was $25 for an individual and $40, am I correct?
That's correct, Larry.
For a family membership, which is really pretty darn reasonable when you get right down to it. And of course, as John says, you don't have to. You could give more if you want to. There's there's no problem there. You have a number of even virtual field trips on the website.
Yeah, we do have a couple of virtual field trips still on our website from our COVID-impacted field trip season. To my knowledge, I don't think we've been creating any new ones in the recent years, but there are still a couple online that folks can visit.
Yeah, there. I believe we do have some that are archived, and mm-hmm. we could certainly get more out there, too. That's an idea, Larry, that maybe we should put a few more out there.
Well, the COVID actually, certainly created a problem for everybody, including you folks as well.
Right. Right. A number of us have transitioned to working from remote locations, and we did do a season of mostly virtual field trips. Fortunately, because many of our trips are outdoor activities, we were able to start up a little sooner than some other activities. So now we do have a full list of 263 trips that are back to what we were before the pandemic. So people can take advantage of those. Again, it's wisconservation.org for information.
The organization of this must, putting together all those field trips, 263.
We have Christine Tanzer. I have to give a shout out to her, who has led our field trip for 25 years, and her able assistants, Kim Kreitinger, have done a yeoman job of putting this thing together. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible amount of work, as you can imagine, getting a hold of all these trip leaders, getting it organized into this wonderful booklet, and getting it out to people, and they just do an incredible job.
Jill mentioned the Wayfarers group to me, and you want to talk about that for a minute, Lindsay?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. So our Wayfarers program is our young professionals group, so 20s and 30-somethings to get together and also be connecting in nature. So the Wayfarers group usually hosts events every other month or so, and they might range from nature-based board game nights to taking field trips across the state of Wisconsin.
That's pretty cool.
It's super cool. We do have an email list for the Wayfarers group, so if anyone listening is interested in joining that, you can find email lists on our website at wisconservation.org and sign up for the Wayfarers email list.
Is there an upper age limit to that group?
No, definitely not. We could call it the Young at Heart group.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I could even be a Wayfarer if I wanted to be.
I'm sure they'd love to have you.
Okay, so not an age limit, but it's kind of, you know, it's probably for more active people, I would expect.
Yeah, we've hosted some off-trail hikes in state natural areas across Wisconsin, a kayak trip on Lake Mendota.
And we'll talk some more about those trips. And, of course, we'll get you involved as well in maybe you've attended some of these field trips or maybe you've been involved in a birdathon. I hope you'll join in with your questions at 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with John and Lindsay. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for staying with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with a couple of members of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin with us today. John Kraniak and Lindsay Taylor of the foundation. John's the membership director and data analyst, and Lindsay's the conservation programs coordinator. And there is a lot going on. We're talking about the field trip guidebook. There's 263 events that you could participate in or field trips, and we'll talk some more about them. There's also the Great Wisconsin Birdathon that we want to talk with them about as well. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. What's maybe how's the foundation efforts affected your area of the state? What do you want to know about the organization, or what do you want to know about those field trips? Maybe you've been on one. Love to hear your comments. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Well, let's talk about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. It's starting in a few weeks. For those who aren't aware, what's it all about?
Larry, it actually starts, I believe, April 15th, and people are forming teams already. And this is for people at all levels of birding. Go to our website, wisconservation.org/birdathon. And it is a lot of fun. Just from personal experience, I just live a little bit south of your studios here on Wingra, and we did a low effort, what they call a sit. So we sat in my front yard and looked out on Wingra Creek in the Arboretum, and we were able to identify 50 species within an hour. Now, not everybody has such great luck birding, and some of our teams travel all over, some because they want to have a low impact, do bicycling to all their birding sites, but it runs the gamut. And again, you can find out a lot more by going to wisconservation.org/birdathon.
Yeah, and Lindsay, maybe you can get into more of the nuts and bolts of that, too.
Yeah, of course. So the Great Wisconsin Birdathon is the largest fundraiser for bird conservation in Wisconsin. It has raised more than $700,000 since 2012, so we're entering our 11th year this year for the Birdathon. And really, it's a chance for individuals to raise funds for bird protection by collecting pledges for the number of species they see in a day, or just by collecting donations. So we call it a walkathon style fundraiser, but instead of walking miles, you're counting bird species. So you form a team, hopefully with a cool team name. We've got a lot of punny bird themed names. And you pick a day between April 15th and June 15th to go out with your team and count however many birds you can in the day. But it really is for expert birders and beginners alike. If you went out and you saw just a couple of species in your neighborhood, you're still helping birds in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and there are some cool names. I was trying to run my head, rack my brain to come up with some of the names because there's give me a couple of examples.
The foundation's team is called Quacks in the Foundation.
Quacks in the Foundation. Okay. Give me one more.
Yeah, we've got a couple other teams that I really love their names. We've got Yes We Pelican and Double Stuffed Orioles is another one of my favorites.
anybody could contribute to those various groups, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you head to our foundation's website, you can find your way to the Birdathon's homepage and see all of the teams. And we even have a leaderboard of the teams that are raising the most money. So it makes a little bit of a friendly competition out of fundraising.
And the funds are used for?
Funds are used for highest priority bird conservation needs in Wisconsin. So we have a committee that then determines what our highest priority needs are in Wisconsin. The last 2 years, we've raised over $100,000 just in those 2 months. So that's a lot of money that is going directly on the ground within a couple months of the fundraiser ending.
Yeah. And how many species have been recorded over the years? Have you kept track in one way or another? Yeah.
That's a great question. We do keep track of the number of species that teams see and make a big total list. I'm not sure what the last couple totals have been from the last years, but I would say for sure we've had some teams see over 150 or more species in the day.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's real, real good. And by the way, we have a link to this and how people can participate on our Larry Mueller Show website. So if you go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry and you go to today's date and right in program notes, you're going to find another link in case you need to, a link to it in case you need it. I imagine when I think about the opportunities to volunteer, I might talk about that a little bit. What are the, John, are there some opportunities with the Natural Resources Foundation to volunteer?
The kind that I have involve helping get out membership renewals, so that involves, shall we say, some paperwork, hand addressing envelopes, stuffing, that sort of thing. Kind of similar to the old-fashioned political campaign volunteering. So that's what's in the membership department. I'm not sure, Lindsay, if we have other things that you could mention.
I would say most of the volunteering is through the membership department.
Right.
And we, all of our field trip leaders are also volunteers. So we take an open call for field trip leaders every October, November. So if anyone out there has expertise or something they'd really love to show our members, we do take open proposals for field trips in the fall. So that'd be another great way to be involved.
I want to get to the field trip guidebook because there. I mean, do you have a favorite one that you? I mean, there are 263 of them. I looked through ones that kind of caught my eye, and there were a lot of them that just to give people a better idea of what they're going to find. When, you know, the nature of the field trips.
So one that I like a lot is Lakeshore State Park in Milwaukee. A lot of people don't even know it's there. It's actually east of the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee. And you wouldn't think that you'd get the flora and fauna that you get there, but they have, I believe, foxes have a burrow in there. They've got incredible prairie plantings, and of course, then you have the beautiful Lake Michigan in front of you as well. That's certainly one of my favorites. Lindsay, I'm going to let you
offer
your opinion.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think my favorite thing about the field trips is that it offers some opportunities that we don't normally have as just members of the public. So there are a lot of nature centers that will offer behind the scenes tours or after dark tours, a lot of bird banding opportunities where you can see researchers banding red-tailed hawks or bald eagles on a pontoon. So I think there are just a lot of opportunities to see and do things that you normally can't.
Yeah, one that I checked off was behind the scenes. I kind of like the behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and this was behind the scenes at the Mead Wildlife
Yeah.
area, There's a little hayride trip through this Wisconsin gem, and you've got some professionals that are talking as you go through it, and there's that dike system. You learn about that dike system and how various habitats are managed, and it's behind the scenes, which I've always enjoyed those kind. And another one that I enjoyed would be participating in is the birding, boating, and breweries along the Milwaukee River, which is another real gem here because, you know, that Milwaukee River there's been so much work done on that river, and you can be down in that river, and it's like you're not... you're in the wildest. Mm-hmm. You're in the wilds.
It's amazing what's the turnaround. Back in the 1920s, my father used to go swimming at Beckstein's on the Milwaukee River, and of course, 20 years after that, you wouldn't have thought about swimming in the Milwaukee River. But I think it may be getting to the point where you could probably do that again.
They've done some absolutely marvelous work. Bill in Oregon, we'll give you a chance to join in here. Bill, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Been done a lot of wonderful foundation trips. Cat Island's a beautiful one. We were fortunate enough to be part of the last Nettie Mine trip. But we've also been to a lot of smaller ones or ones that are more remote, and we've learned that a lot of the groups, this is their primary source of funding for the year, by offering the field trips. And I was kind of curious, how does a group become part of your offerings? Or how does somebody propose a field trip and contact you to say, we'd like to be part of this, simply because of the funding options that you offer?
Yeah, Lindsay?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our field trip director, Christine Tanzer, she takes the proposals for our field trips in the fall. So you can usually find information for a field trip leader call out in about October. And last year she was trying to get those proposals in before Thanksgiving. So October, November is a good time to look for that. And it's an open sign up form to submit your proposal, and she'll get in contact with you and discuss any ideas you might have to lead a trip.
Sounds great. Bill, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Dave in Janesville. Dave, hi.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention that anybody might have an interest in geology. The geology field trip of Baraboo Hills is just totally fascinating, and they should definitely check it out.
Yeah, the Baraboo Hills. Lindsay, you want to comment on that?
I did. I had my eye on that field trip, too. It looked like a really fun one. Thank you.
Because of the diversity there, it's so such an interesting area. And then to be able to go there with someone who can tell you about it. I've been there on my own or with a couple of other people. And, you know, I know a little. But when you go with somebody who's really skilled and knows much more than you do, it's really a wonderful experience. Dave, thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. I had a friend who has passed away now, but one of the places that he loved and spent a lot of time talking about was the Bibbin Swamp. He spent a lot of time there, and I was delighted to see that there's a Bibbin Swamp paddling adventure. The Bibbin Swamp in northern Wisconsin, it's one of the most diverse and largest intact wetland systems in the state. And so this is for those who like to paddle. It's 16-mile paddle through the swamps, the alder thickets, and the bog habitats. You're going to see the wildlife there. So there are a few connections with that, but I thought, geez, it would be fun for me to go on that trip just to canoe the 16 miles through the Bibbin Swamp. There's a limit. There's like 15 people, and there's limits for most of these, I would think, the number of people.
There are limits. We do ask people to when they sign up. And by the way, signups begin April 4th at noon Central Daylight Time. And these trips, some of them are very popular and they go very quickly. So I would encourage people, if they want to participate, to sign up soon for membership so they're eligible to go on those trips. And the other thing is, I would encourage people not to be discouraged. If a trip is full, we have wait lists. And amazingly enough, people change their plans between April and August, and things happen. The old saying is, life is what happens on the way to doing other things. So spots do open up on trips that get filled up right away the first day. So again, I would encourage people not to be discouraged about it. But again, the trips are at wisconservation.org. That's the way to sign up for membership, and then you'll get your information about how to sign up for field trips once you do that.
I'm going to talk some more about the grant program, too, while I'm thinking of it. I sometimes forget. So tell us about the grant program and how organizations might be able to find out if they would actually qualify for grants. Let's go through that, Lindsay.
Yeah, that's a great question. So since the foundation was founded, we've given out more than $11 million in grants. The last 2 years, we've topped $1 million each year. So we've really been accelerating our grant making, and that's thanks to our amazing fundraising team as well. So you can learn more about our grant programs on our website at wisconservation.org. And we have 6 competitive grant programs. We have grant programs for land restoration, a lot of prairie habitat work. We also have a couple specific environmental education grants. So for teachers, environmental educators across the state, our Go Outside Fund is specifically for environmental education. So there are a lot of ways that people can receive money from the foundation, and you can read about our eligibility and our priorities of those funds on the website.
Give me an example of, let's take the environmental education. What would be the kind of give us an example of some that have been funded in the past.
Yeah, of course. So the Go Outside Fund, the main priority of the fund is just to get kids outside and get kids connected with nature. So there are a lot of things that could fall under that grant program. We get a lot of requests for field trip transportation. So I know that bus drivers are in really short supply across the state and are also more expensive than they used to be even just a few years ago. So a grant could be used just to fund transportation to take a class on a field trip. We also have a lot of schools that create pollinator gardens at their school, so as an educational activity and opportunity for their students to learn about pollinators and a lot of other nature-based activities.
And so what would be, say, a range within the environmental education in terms of dollars?
Yeah, of course. So the Go Outside Fund has grants between $100 to $500. We try and fully fund projects as much as we can at that $500 limit. We also have the Teachers Outdoor Environmental Education Fund, which is specifically for public school teachers. That has one deadline per year on upcoming on May 1st. And those grants are a little larger, up to $1,000.
All right, and then let's take a couple of the other areas and talk about them as well.
Yeah, of course. So another really great grant program that we have is the C.D. Bezadny Conservation Fund. Hmm. And this is our more generic fund because we fund environmental education projects as well as projects dealing with lands, waters, and wildlife. So any of that restoration work or education activities that are happening. And that grant program comes up every September. So September 1st is the deadline. And those grants range up to $2,000, so a little bit larger for larger projects.
Yeah, and can you give me an example of one of the projects?
Yeah, well, we actually just had a couple of our grant recipients at our staff meeting a couple weeks ago, so that was really fun to hear from them. And we had a couple repeat grant applicants. So the Friends of the Blufflands out in La Crosse are doing some prairie restoration on the bluffs outside of the city of La Crosse. So a lot of work that is benefiting the rattlesnakes and the pollinators on those prairies. And then we also had a man from Douglas County who's been doing an outreach campaign with aquatic invasive species, so specifically the spiny water flea that's starting to invade lakes in northern Wisconsin. So that was a cool range for our staff to see between the land restoration and then an outreach campaign.
So, and again, how many individual projects have you
Ever. I'm not sure about ever, but last year we granted out about 240 individual grants to organizations across the state.
And within that 240 was about $1 million.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's a that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That's where us fundraisers get involved, Larry.
Exactly.
So in your minds, what are the benefits of being a member of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, I would say the good feeling that you get that you are doing something positive for the planet, and especially for the wonderful diversity of our natural resources in the state of Wisconsin, but and beyond in many cases, too. So that's number one. And number two is you're affiliating with a really great group of like-minded people, and you have access to these wonderful trips. You can participate in our Birdathon. You have the chance to maybe receive one of our grants as well. And it's just an all-around great organization. I've been fortunate to be involved with it for 16-plus years now, and I can assure you I would not be working into my old age unless I loved it.
Lindsay, from your perspective.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say something similar to John's second point, which is I really feel like our members are a community, and it's incredible to be part of a community that really cares about the natural resources in Wisconsin and our lands, waters, and wildlife, and is hoping to do something to help protect them.
And I guess by the Birdathon or like the field guides or the field trips that we find here in your 2023 guidebook, I guess it's a chance then. That's where you meet the other members, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly, because you have to be a member to go on our field trips. Everyone that you're on the field trip with is also a member, so you know that you're aligning with those similar values.
Yeah. Do you ever have get-togethers aside from the field trips?
We have had events in the past that were generally open. Of course, the pandemic affected that just slightly. And we do now have our Birdathon coordinator who is also involved in putting together events. So I am thinking down the line we will probably have some events. And the way to find out about that, of course, is wisconservation.org.
You did a good job of mentioning that throughout, John. Appreciate it.
Pledge drive mode, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Well, this is an amazing number of activities and with the Birdathon and with these field trips. You ought to take a look at them. And I want to thank you both, John and Lindsay, for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's been a pleasure. Let's make it not so long the next time, 4 years since we've been here.
Thank you.
Sounds like a plan. John Kradiak is the membership director and data analyst for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. Lindsay Taylor is the conservation programs coordinator at the Natural Resources Foundation. Fun talking with them, and we'll get them back, and we will do this again. And, of course, we have a show tomorrow. We'll talk with the author about her new science fiction book, and then we'll take a look at the new energy rebates that are available for homes and businesses. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.